This morning, I need you to use your imaginations just a little bit. My name is Micah. You know me because my words have been recorded in one of the books of prophecy that is found in what is called by some the Old Testament and by others the Hebrew Bible. I lived in the latter part of the 8th century before the birth of Jesus Christ, 800 years before Jesus was born. I came from Moresheth. Moresheth is a village located about 25 miles southwest of Jerusalem. It was in a part of Judah called Shephelah. Now, I lived during a time of transition. Both the kingdoms of Judah and Israel had been prosperous in the years before my birth, but now there were greater powers all around us, especially Assyria, and they were aggressively turning their attention to us, threatening our very existence. And I could see that the ones who were paying the biggest price were the poor and the voiceless. And in the midst of those times, I felt called to proclaim a warning to all of God's people. Now, at first, I focused on the northern kingdom of Israel because, well, it was in the greatest danger. And it was in the greatest danger because it was right next to Assyria. And if I'm really honest, well, it's easier to deal with somebody else's problems than your own. And history shows that the situation in Israel was much, much more urgent than I thought, for I had hardly started my ministry when the northern kingdom fell. See, it's always easier to see the faults of another than to be honest with our own. And to be honest, the only way Judah avoided the same fate at that time was by paying huge tributes to Assyria and becoming what you would call today probably a satellite state. And it particularly broke my heart to see our religious practices corrupted. Of course, in the end, it did no good because a century later, Judah fell to Assyria as well. Now, many of those who would call themselves prophets in my time would like to feed the people false optimism. They wanted to ignore the reality of things the way they were, and so they chose to say what the people wanted to hear, rather than being brutally honest and telling them the truth. And I felt my call was to the truth, to alert those who would listen to the danger they were facing and to call them back to reliance upon God and God alone. My name, Micah, even comes from the word in our language that means who is like the Lord. And so my name by itself would challenge my listeners to remember that the Lord our God is our ultimate hope. But faith is never an escape from reality. Faith is accepting that God is in our realities. I'm here today to tell you what I saw in Bethlehem's future all those years ago. Now, if you could have seen the place 28 centuries ago, it was not at all like it is today. Today, you would find a busy city. Then, it was just a small village. Today, it is a place where people come on pilgrimages. Then, it was the kind of place that you wouldn't notice if it hadn't been the birthplace of the greatest king our people had ever known, for it was in Bethlehem that David was born. What I said roughly was this. But you, Bethlehem, David's country, the runt of the litter, from you will come the leader who will shepherd, rule Israel. He'll be no upstart, no pretender. His family tree is ancient and distinguished. Meanwhile, Israel will be in foster homes until the birth pangs are over and the child is born, and the scattered brothers come back home to the family of Israel. He will stand tall in his shepherd rule by God's strength, centered in the majesty of God revealed. And the people will have a good and safe home, for the whole world will hold him in respect, the peacemaker of the whole world. I was seeing Bethlehem and her future by a different standard than we usually use in this world. It was not her size or power that mattered, but the one who was to be born there that would make her great. There was absolutely no reason to believe that this event, this 7 centuries before it happened, there was no reason, except for, of course, the same things had been said when David was chosen to be anointed king. Just as Bethlehem was small, so was David, the youngest and least likely candidate among Jesse's sons. But the scripture tells us that God looks at the heart. I knew this about God, and so I saw Bethlehem as a place where heaven would touch the earth. Anyone connected to this little village could tell you the story of David. It is perhaps the proudest part of my nation's history, and we take great pride in it. But you can't live in the past forever. And so I was proclaiming a vision for a future. Yes, a great king had been born in this place many years ago, but I was envisioning something far greater. And you know, even after Jesus was born and walked this earth, many, many people still don't understand. Now, I could only speak of such hope because that kind of love and grace is in the very nature of God. They call that Old Testament the Book of Law, but it is a story of God's grace through and through. And that, my friends, is your promise today, the grace of God. And we can face tomorrow no matter what because God loves us so much that God wanted to be with us and will always be with us. I know firsthand from the time immemorial that nations rise and nations fall. But God, only God, is eternal. And I was led by God to proclaim that news. From that little village of Bethlehem would come the one who would gather his people and feed them as a shepherd feeds his flock. And I saw the boundaries reaching far beyond the borders of our little kingdom and time. I saw it stretching all the way to the ends of the earth. The promise of a new king would make it possible for everyone to be secure and to live in peace. Look around and you know that that doesn't happen overnight. There have been difficult days in the past, and friends, there will be difficult days ahead. The world that you live in still faces hunger and illness, bigotry and hatred, violence and war. But we live empowered by the promise that the one who was born at Bethlehem will be with us and like a shepherd will guide us, protect us, and care for us. We are called to be patient. We are called to trust in the Lord. We are called to love as God first loved us. And that, my friends, is how we fulfill the promise of the prophecy. Because God's promise was not just for the world that I lived in, but a vision for all of time. The experience of the holy comes to all that open their hearts to the one who was born in Bethlehem. Heaven touches the earth again and again when we live in the light of the love of Jesus. And God allowed me to see the possibility of all that could happen in Bethlehem 6 centuries before it happened. Yes, our land would be invaded, our cities destroyed, our fields would lay barren, our people would be taken into exile. People would return, but oppressor would follow oppressor. We would struggle to survive. In spite of it all, God's eternal plan never changed and never changes. God's Son, the one you know as Jesus, comes to be the great shepherd of the whole world. Of course, you are not my first audience. As a prophet in the 8th century, I was trying to warn my people of the terrible days that were ahead if they didn't turn back to God. I was trying to give them something to hang on to give them strength for the tests that lay ahead. And that message is still relevant today. We all need the promise of God so that no matter how dark the world may grow, the light will always be brighter. The sacred will always burst through into our lives. God is with us. God loves us. Let me tell you that you will be surprised when you find those sacred moments. Because just as the world would have expected the Messiah to have come from Jerusalem and not Bethlehem, we sometimes mistakenly think that God will be with us only at the big and major moments of life. This holy season will give you opportunities to experience God's love in small and seemingly insignificant moments. Don't overlook them. Take them for the gifts that they are. Because the celebration of Christmas is only the first part of a much larger story, God's story in our lives, in your life. The message of the one who would come from Bethlehem is far more than just a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. It is important for us to know that God came in human form and knows our condition and loves us beyond measure, but the message only begins there. As big as that message is, there is more. If all we do is come to the manger like the wise men and leave our gifts and then wander back to where we came from, then nothing has changed. The story dies right there in the manger. We, you and I, are the rest of the story. When we leave the manger and follow and serve the one born there in Bethlehem, loving the world as he loves us, the story never ends. Amen.